Follett is one of the world's most popular novelists. His books, among which I know you've read several, have sold more than 130 million copies around the globe. Follett burst into the book world in 1978 with Eye of the Needle, a taut original thriller which won the Edgar Award and, like many of his books to follow, became a major Hollywood film. Popular novels were next, including Triple, The Key to Rebecca, The Man from St. Petersburg, and Lie Down with Lions. Follett then surprised readers by radically changing course with The Pillars of the Earth, a novel about building a cathedral in the Middle Ages. Published in September 1989, it was on the Times bestseller list for 18 weeks. His current project is perhaps his most ambitious to date. The Century Trilogy will tell the entire history of the 20th century, seen through the eyes of five linked families, one American, one English, one German, one Russian, and one Welsh. The first book, The Fall of Giants, focused on World War I and the Russian Revolution, and it was published in September 2010. The second book, Winter of the World, chronicles the Second World War, and it will be our topic of discussion today. Welcome, Ken. Thanks so much for taking time from Book Tour to speak with us today.
It's great to be on the show.
What made you decide to take on a project as sweeping in scope as the Century Trilogy?
Well, you know, when I'm thinking about what to write, I always think I've got to give people something they can't get on television. And, you know, television drama is exciting and it's well written and it's very easy to turn on the TV. And I want people to turn off the TV and pick up a book. So I've got to give them something that they think is going to be better than what they can see on TV. So that's why more and more these days I'm writing long books that, as well as being dramatic, I hope, dramatic and exciting and full of interesting characters, also enable you to learn something and to better understand the history and where you came from.
Well, I have a master's in history, and I thought your book was fascinating, intriguing, and captivating.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Had you planned or outlined the entire trilogy before you began writing book one?
I did block it out, yes. I spent the first 6 months of this project reading the history of the 20th century overall and blocking out the three books in the trilogy. And then after 6 months doing that, I focused on the first book, Fall of Giants, and started to outline that in more detail. But I did, yes, I did try right at the start to get a big picture of the story of the 20th century.
And with a story so big, did you set a timeline of completion for each book for yourself and then actually stick to it?
Yes, well, I did set a timetable, and I've stuck to it so far. I'm touching wood here. But, so I took 3 years to do Fall of Giants, but I've completed Winter of the World in 2 years, and I'm hoping to complete the third book in the trilogy, which would be called Edge of Eternity. I'm hoping to complete that in 2 years so that I'll be able to publish it 2 years from now. Wish me luck, okay?
I will. You tell the tale through the story of five intertwined families, and it immediately draws you in. How did you craft that idea?
Well, I began with the history, but then I thought, okay, these are the great momentous events that are going to happen during the course of these novels. Now, who will be the people who will live through these and take part in these events and whose lives will be transformed by these events? And so I wanted to pick characters who could be present at more than one great event. So I have characters who move, for example, from St. Petersburg to the United States, and from the United States to London, and it was really a question of having a small number of people who could live through a great many momentous events.
I have to ask you, as the writer and kind of the father of this story, did you have a favorite character or storyline that you just, you know, loved writing more than maybe some of the others?
Well, in the first book, Fall of Giants, I was interested particularly in the Welsh coal mining family because I come from a family of Welsh coal miners. My grandfather did what Billy does in right at the beginning of Fall of Giants at the age of 13. He went down the pit, as they say, which means he started work as a coal miner. So when I was telling that story, I was to some extent repeating stories that I was told as a child about my own family. So I was, in the first book, I was particularly fond of that aspect of the story. The person I like in Winter of the World probably is Daisy. She's not very wise, particularly at the beginning. She makes a lot of terrible mistakes, but she learns from her mistakes very quickly, and she becomes, in the end, a much nicer person than she was at the start. And she's also pretty and sexy, so what's not to like?
Exactly. Very pretty and very kind of calculating at the beginning. When a location is so central to the story and you have to depict it so intricately, do you actually make it a point to visit most of the places that you write about?
Yes, I do. I much prefer to have actually walked around these places myself. Of course, many of the great cities in Winter of the World are places that are already familiar to me. London, Washington, Berlin, Moscow and St. Petersburg, Paris. These are all places that are familiar to me. But it's useful, if I haven't been to a place, it's useful to go. For example, in Winter of the World, I went to do research in the central Spanish desert, and I went to a town called Belchite, which was the site of a famous battle in the Spanish Civil War. And in Winter of the World, several of the characters in Winter of the World are present at this battle, and they live through it, and they fight through it, and some of them die. And it was quite important to me and very useful to me to be able to go there. This town was destroyed in the battle, but the ruins are still there. And I was able to walk around the ruins of this town, walk down the streets where they fought, see the church where the rebels were holed up. And it made it easier for me to vividly imagine the battle. That kind of thing I do find helpful.
Winter of the World, as we know, is the second in the trilogy, yet it's a book readers can pick up without having read book one, The Fall of Giants. How were you able to achieve that?
Well, I think it would be, you know, it would be fun to read Fall of Giants and then Winter of the World, but it would be just as much fun, I think, to read Winter of the World and then say, oh, okay, what happened to the parents of these characters and what was their story, and then go back to Fall of Giants. And I think my aim was to make sure that Winter of the World had a beginning and a middle and an end that you could pick up on and read through without having to ask yourself questions about what happened 20 years earlier.
I have to ask, when you're planning a project that is so massive in scope, is it really daunting? I mean, or you just sit down and write every day?
Well, both. Yes, I just sit down and write every day, but yes, I was daunted by the Century Trilogy when I began. And, you know, a question on my mind is, am I capable of doing this? You're quite right, Elaine. It is very ambitious to try and tell the history of the 20th century in the form of a trilogy of novels. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, okay, it's a great idea if it works, but will I be able to do it? So, yet daunting is a very good word for it, but happily readers really liked Fall of Giants, so that made me feel that I was able to do it. And I have my fingers crossed that they will like Winter of the World just as much.
Yeah. Now, I know you're already working on book three, but is there a standalone project that perhaps you're formulating in your mind already?
You mean for afterwards?
Yes,
no.
Yes.
No, it's as much as I can do to keep one novel in my head at a time, you know, and I sometimes slip and I get people's ages wrong or I get the color of their eyes wrong. And if I tried to think about the book after this one, too much, then I would become I'd become very confused. So no, I really very much focus on one book at a time.
All right. Audiobook listeners loved John Lee's performance of book one. Will he be back in book two? And are you involved with the audio productions at all?
No, I don't get involved in that. It's a complicated business, and I leave it to the experts. Some writers read their own books for the audio book, and I'm occasionally asked why I don't do that. And, of course, I could do it, but actors do it so much better.
Yeah.
And it's a great thrill to me to have really good people read my book. And, you know, and the actors can do, they do the dialogue in different voices and different accents, and they bring a sense of drama to the audio book that is, you know, it's their talent. And I respect that, and I love that they do such a good job for me. And the last thing I want to do is to step in and say, I think I'll do this myself.
I think after listening to so many audiobooks, you are a very wise man indeed. Well, readers, this is one book you will want to pick up, and I doubt that you'll be able to put it down until you finish it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ken.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.